time to feel the rush of the Round Table, live on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Round Table brought to you by Burke Financial, offering homeowners personalized mortgage solutions for approvals in as little as an hour and fast funding. Visit burkefinancial.ca. Brokerage license number 13111. Joining us now for the roundtable is News Talk 1010 political analyst Scott Reed. Welcome, Scott.
Hello, Jay. Welcome back.
Thank you, sir. Former journalist and communications advisor to the premier, founder of KPW Communications, is Carmen Wong. Hey, Carmen.
Hey, guys.
Let's start off. I think this is a much different debate than the retail one that has been had before when it comes to vaccine passports, vaccination policies. A gym is a different place altogether, right? You're talking about sweat, you're talking about spit, you're talking about things flying all around. When we talk about the idea of Good Life Fitness saying they will not enforce a vaccine policy for their staff or customers, you know, Scott, I think largely this becomes a business story, because what you saw were a whole bunch of people on one side saying, I'm going to have to cancel my membership then, and a new group of people, and who knows if they're credible or not, saying, okay, well, I'm going to go get a membership just because they're deciding to do something like this. It's going to be a tough slog and a tough, I guess, set of navigation tactics for businesses in this industry and in this space.
Well, first of all, I think we should start with the body shaming you did on me when you mentioned that I've never bumped into a treadmill.
Yeah, Ryan.
You think I wasn't listening, but I was. You know, I'm actually not just a longtime caller, but also a listener. So I have been to a gym, you know.
Is it the one that serves bourbon and wings?
Yes, that's exactly right. And I work out constantly. I really don't think it's a business story. I mean, I think it's a business story insofar as this is one of those situations where government needs to step in and establish rules under which everyone must operate, and therefore those obligations are equalized, and no one who decides to flout sensible rules gets an advantage. So in that sense, I would love to see government say no business, you have to do this. But in a world where they're not saying this, I think it's a public health issue has to trump. I mean, imagine saying, you know, we were going to cook our food all the way through, but we decided that's not how we're going to do it here, and that's our decision as a business. Sorry, not cool. If you're going to invite people into your premises, into your business, they have a right to know that they're not going to be exposed to a communicable virus. So it's I think it's a dreadful decision.
Carmen, how do you see this?
Well, I think we learned today that gentlemen's clubs are safer operators and more responsible business owners than gyms are. Gyms have been the source of outbreaks, most recently in Quebec City. We saw a gym that was a source of the largest super spreader event in Canada. Hundreds of cases we're talking about. So we're talking about a place that's already really susceptible to transmitting the virus. So I suspect a lot. Like, I was a Good Life member. I'm not going back to a Good Life. I don't feel comfortable with that. Maybe there will be some people who are. I agree with Scott. I think the lack of government direction allows for this patchwork of policies to exist among businesses.
Let's talk a little bit about a story that we had on earlier today that Ryan found a little bit hypercritical when you put it up against the empty home tax proposal. Toronto City Council voting this week to legalize rooming houses straight across the city. They would be limited to 6 dwelling rooms in most residential neighborhoods, and their landlords would have to be licensed. There would be parking and washroom requirements based on the number of rooms. And I'll start with you, Scott. Does this feel like a hypocritical situation for you when you're being told what you can do with your empty house, that you have to, you know, you can't keep it empty, yet at the same time we have people that are going to now be able to put as many rooms essentially in as they want and have almost as many people as they want?
No, I don't think I'm going to have to listen. First of all, I'm going to say what I think, and then I'll ask Ryan what his logic is. But what I think is they're tackling different problems. And actually, in some ways, they're tackling the same problem. The problem is we have a housing shortage. The problem is that we have, frankly, a lack of density when it comes to building. But, you know, I want to stop people who just buy a house as an investment, then abandon it, just let it sit, see if they can flip it in 2 years. I want to stop that from happening. And I also want to stop people from, you know, not making full use of a place they have. And, you know, I like the idea of a rooming house. I like the idea, as long as it's regulated and clean and all that stuff, of saying, you know what? Hey, some more affordable, more accessible place. Not everybody makes $250,000 a year. I like the idea.
Okay, let me just, I wanted to step in here. I never did say it was hypocritical. I don't know where that came from, but that's, you know, that's out there and what have you. But my main point is I don't find that these type of places are ever associated with the word safe. I always find that these kind of houses, rooming houses, are always associated with the word fire or bad news stories. And I'm not sure, Scott, that this kind of regulation or oversight, it can be policed enough. I don't know if we have the manpower for it to stop that from happening. I think you're still going to have shady people running rooming houses that have all sorts of electrical cords coming out of it, shared spaces that aren't going to be up to code or up to snuff.
Yeah, that's a fair point. And I'll shut up quickly, but that is a fair point. The asterisk on this is that it's got to be well regulated. My grandfather lived in one of these places down at Lower Bathurst when I was a kid. And it was not a nice place. And there are like 100 people running hot plates. And it was a gruesome place. And you don't want that. You don't want flop houses. You want rooming houses.
Carmen?
Well, but the problem is that it's allowed in certain parts of the city and it's not allowed in other parts of the city. So this is kind of just equalizing it. I mean, we talk a lot on the show about housing, having a housing problem in the city. People need shelter. If the government doesn't legalize these rooming houses, it drives them further underground. And this is an affordable option for people who need housing. So the role of government here should be to regulate them and to make them safer. And it also speaks to being creative about housing solutions. So when we're talking about rooming, whether it's rooming houses or laneway houses or coach houses, these are all things that government should be considering when we're looking at addressing the housing crisis.
Let's talk a little bit about our complex that we have here in the city of Toronto, where I'm not knocking this film. I think it looks lovely. I think this director is lovely. I think the whole story is lovely. It's a Pixar movie. Everybody was speaking glowingly about it. It's called Turning Red. It's an animated movie that follows the story of a 13-year-old girl who transforms into a giant red panda when she gets too excited. Scott, it's loosely based on your life story. When you hear something like this, though, and the elation, the giddiness, people saying, oh my God, they're mentioning Toronto, I think that speaks to a larger problem that we have here as a city. Like, we are a big deal. We don't need a movie to say we're a big deal or to have our city appear in a movie. We're already recognized. We're world class. I just wish we'd mature a little bit.
That's true. And my life as a panda is my own thing. I wish you hadn't brought that up. I didn't give you my permission to share that with people. But, I'm firmly on both sides of this argument. Like, on the one hand, I think it's cool. Like, I think it's cool, and I don't want to feel like I'm lame for saying I think it's cool. That, hey, cool. Like, you know, going to be a big time Disney film, and it's, you know, unapologetically in Toronto. It's not in anonymous USA, like usually when they shoot in Toronto. But on the other hand, I don't think we don't have to, like, you know, pump our muscles and go, wow, we've arrived. Disney loves us, and therefore we matter. So I don't know. I argue it both ways inside my own head, and then I get so upset I turn into a giant red panda.
And there it goes. It all comes full circle. Carmen, I don't mind people going to the point of neat, because I think it is neat. I think, you know, it's cool. It'll be neat to watch, and I'll watch it with my kids. There's no doubt about it. But I think it's the latter point that Scott's talking about, this idea that, oh, we've made it, we're in a Disney Pixar movie. No, we are a big deal, and now we're just in a movie. Like, that's what normal cities go through all the time. You don't see New York doing a victory lap.
Just as a quick aside, like, up until recently, it's really hard to find books and TV shows or movies that had Asian characters or storylines in them. So I, for one, really like the idea of this movie. But on the topic of Toronto, you mentioned New York. I grew up in New Jersey. And in New Jersey, people always made fun of us because we were supposed to be New York light. And we were trying to mimic New York. But in the recent years, New Jersey has really come into their own, really embraced their identity, and you know, has become respected, I want to say. And I think we should celebrate in Toronto who we are and the things that make our city great. I don't think we're too cool to say that it's amazing to have a movie set in the city. I think we should celebrate it.
Let's finish up with this one, and a ton of reaction today, so much so that we didn't necessarily expect it. It's the conversation concerning pickup trucks. One out of five of every vehicle on the road right now, a pickup truck, incredibly popular, especially when you talk, Scott, about the possibility of those being taken away. A discussion today, some articles in the States talking about the possibility of, for the sake of the environment, specifically in Canada, with greenhouse gas emissions, that we might need to get to a point in our lives where if you don't have a specific need for a pickup truck, you won't have the opportunity to buy one. You would have think it was an American NRA conversation, the way people reacted when we talked about it earlier.
It's like, I, you know, theoretically, I guess, like in abstract academic terms, it's a legitimate discussion. It's probably an inevitable discussion. But I'm not just that stupid that I would be in government and suggest this, because you know, you know, man, you're saying, could you please come by and take a shot at my head? So I punch, I mean by that. And, you know, to me, this argument is actually going to fix itself. We're going to have self-driving cars. We're going to have a full-fledged electrification, and it's going to alter this whole thing. So I don't think we need to stop this from happening. We don't need to stop these sales, because I think the market's going to fix it. And I think it's going to fix it a lot faster than we think. I think personal transportation is going to look way different 15 years from now than it does now.
Carmen, I know you drive an F2500 Hemi V8, so I'm curious your thoughts.
Like, as a consumer, I don't know how safe this car is or what needs to be done, or that. I mean, I think there is a role for government, if any, in that respect. But I also think Scott's right. Like, you know, all manufacturers are moving towards electric. Ford recently unveiled its first all electric pickup, F-150. So that's not too far up in the future.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I think that, you know, when you talk about that, it goes back to my earlier point, Jay. When you look at it, make sure that it's about, you know, having the companies change into what works for today, what works for the environment, not banning people from buying them. Carmen, Scott, thank you so much. We appreciate it. We never got to the idea of calling your spouse from another room and what that reaction's like, but maybe we'll do that another day. Thank you so much.
Take care.
I'm off to the treadmill.
All right. Just don't let your panda come out. That's what counts. Our thanks to Donnie, Mike, another guy named Mike. A lot of people named Mike around here these days.
We are back tomorrow afternoon at 2. Until then, have an amazing evening. Your CTV Evening News is next. Have a great night.